Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to Wiggum Baptist Church this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with prayer. Had 29 in Sunday school this morning, so please continue to support that. And we have classes for everyone if you would like to join us at 9:45 each Sunday morning. We would be glad to have you. This Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. is our monthly fellowship meal. It'll be covered dish, and then immediately after the meal, we'll have church conference. I'd like to encourage everyone to come to our monthly fellowship meals and stay for our church conference. Really can get a better indication of what we are doing if you would participate in that. And Thursday, August the 15th, is 7 o'clock at the men's ministry, standing in the gap, meal and meeting. Today, school supplies for Wiggum School are due. If you have not brought them already, you can bring them tonight, if you would, please, and then we'll get them delivered to the school as soon as possible. Any other announcements? Birthdays.
If you know anybody that has a child in Grady County School District, it is closed for tomorrow, or for Monday, yeah, for tomorrow.
Okay, they said school in Grady County was closed, will be closed tomorrow, so mark your calendars for that. Any other announcements? The Faircloth family.
Rhonda Faircloth's daughter was the one that was shot and killed early this past week, along with another male that she was with.
Any birthdays, y'all?
Mr. Matthew!
Matthew.
And Phyllis.
And Phyllis.
Let's sing happy birthday to these precious people. Happy birthday to you and you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Many more.
Certainly want to remember, as we go to our prayer time, the Faircloth family that was mentioned, the loss of their loved one, and also the Joyce and Terry Day. They were in an accident, and one of them lost a life, and the other one is
in critical condition.
That's the Day family, Joyce, and so we want to remember them also. And remember the coming storm, those that are in the path of it, and let's just pray for no damage, y'all. We know it's coming, but still don't know exactly where yet or how much impact we'll have here. But let's pray for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord, and the opportunity to gather here today, Lord, and worship our Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord. And I do, Lord, just lift up the Day family and the Faircloth family to you today and the other families that may have lost loved ones recently, Lord. We just pray that you'll continue to be with those families, Lord, through the grieving process, Lord. We know you will, and you will comfort them, Lord. Lord, we do pray for the people that may be impacted by the upcoming storm, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that it'll be minimal, Lord, and a minimal amount of wind and rain and all, Lord, and we know, Lord, that you are in control, that you will watch over us during the storm. Lord, but I do just want to come today just lifting up Brother Tim to you as he proclaims your word today, Lord. I thank you for the ones that have come to gather to worship today, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that with all these things that are going on, Lord, I know many things in families and in our world today and even within our community, Lord, all these things can distract us from from worshiping Jesus, Lord. But I just pray for the next little while, Lord, that we just put all those things aside and just focus on our Lord Jesus. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, if you can this morning, please stand as we open up with Lord Be Glorified.
Trust in Jesus. Lord, and willing to serve and glorify you, Lord. Just thank you for Christ, our Savior, who died for us. Thank you for the many ways you bless us and provide for our needs. Lord, as we come to this part of the service, we pray that we'll open our hearts and wallets to you, Lord, that we will return to you the things that are yours, and we pray that it will be a blessing to the giver and to your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Here again, knowledge is great, but knowing how to use knowledge in a way that glorifies God, that is wisdom. And through knowledge and wisdom, we can have understanding and how to deal with life in general. Friendship was demonstrated by God to us throughout the Bible, and I know you can look it up, and your Bible does not have the word Trinity in there, but from Genesis all the way through, you see the relationship, friendship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They never had an argument. How many of you had an argument with your best friend? We probably all have, because sometimes we're trying to get them to listen to reason and wisdom, and sometimes they don't want to, or maybe it's them trying to tell us about wisdom and we don't want to listen to them, right? And so sometimes they're, but think about this, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit never had argument. Never. They were in perfect harmony for all of eternity. Friendship is eternal with God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But friendship was also demonstrated to us by God. You say, how's that? Well, when God made man in the Garden of Eden, it says that God says in Genesis to let us make man in whose image? Our image. So to be in God's image doesn't just mean that we look like God, but that we have the same intellectual capacity as God, although we're not near as smart as God, right? We have the emotions. If we feel, God feels, right? Everything that you experience as a human, God gave that to you because he created you in his image. And so one of the things that God gave to us was the need to have friendships, because even when he created Adam in the Garden of Eden, he said the one bad thing in all his creation was what? That man should not be alone. He created Eve to be his helpmeet, his helper, someone comparable to him. But he also created her to be a friend, right? A friend. We all need friends. James chapter 2, verse 23 says, and scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he, meaning Adam, was called the what? Friend of God. Wow. John 15:15. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. And listen to what it tells his disciples. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. All things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. In other words, Jesus was not only a friend with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, but he also wanted to be in that relationship with his followers. His desire, because here's the reality, God doesn't need any of us. Amen. Sometimes we think we're so much evolved or whatever that we're just a blessing to be in God's presence, right? But God doesn't need us. He created us to have fellowship with him, to have relationship with him, so that he could express his love to us. He didn't have to do that. He chose to do that. He chose to extend his friendship to us. He is a relational being, and so as such, he wants us to share in that experience with him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, listen here. If you ever think you can manage on your own, listen to what this word of wisdom says in Ecclesiastes. It says, two are better than... How many of y'all like being by yourself? Anybody? So somebody raised me. Most of us want to be around somebody. If you were by yourself for one day, you would drive yourself crazy. No phones, no text message, no TV, no radio, no nothing but you. You realize that's what hell's going to be like? Total darkness, nobody but you there to suffer all by yourself. Wow, let's get back to this. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You can get twice as much work done when you're working together with somebody, right? For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You see, friendships are made so that when we get knocked down, somebody can help us up. If you're not that kind of person to help your friend when he's down, you need to be that kind of person to help him when they're down. Because sooner or later, guess where you're going to find yourself? You're going to find yourself down, and you need somebody to come along and lift you up and encourage you. Can I tell you, that is the one of the purposes of the church. It's not to look down on each other. It's not to complain about each other. It is to lift one another up, because during the week, sometime we're all going to be down. And we need to come together in the Spirit of God and say, listen, I went through a tough time. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, there's probably more lies told in church at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning than any other time in the week. You know why? And I know I've shared this with you before, but every time somebody walks in the door and you will go up to them and say, how are you doing today? Guess what they say? It's a lie. Because we've all been struggling with something. And yet we make people feel sometimes when they're going through hard times that they're the only ones that's going through that battle, and they're not. And we need to be honest. When the Bible tells us that we are to confess our sins, what it's really talking about, confessing our faults, one of the things we struggle with, the things that we're, man, that have really overtaken us. Matter of fact, come back tonight, we're going to be talking about in over your head. And here comes a storm, right? Already had this planned out, but anyhow. Ecclesiastes, we read that. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves when? Only when you get something in return. And loves at all times, and the brother is born for adversity. We're going to look at that verse a couple more times this morning. But siblings, brothers and sisters, should be there for one another. But listen, some of you may have a brother or sister, but they may live in New York City or California. And if you're going through a hard time, it may not be easy for them to get here, especially if they do another blackout on all the Windows or whatever program it was, CloudStrike. When all of those things come together, you realize that your friend's probably just right down the road from you. And your friend can probably come and be there with you faster than what your brother or sister can be there for. Not saying you shouldn't confide in your brother or sister, but your friend is most likely closer to them or to you than your brothers or sister. Proverbs 27:10 says, do not forsake your what? Your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Verse basically saying the same thing. Our friends can be there for us. We need friends. And anyone who says, I don't need anybody, is telling a lie. Because we all need somebody in our lives to help us out. A true friend will be there for you. A true friend is a gift from God. Never overlook that fact. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be what? Friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, if you want a friend, you got to be a what? If you want a friend, you got to be a friend. That's why I used to tell my kids, if you want friends, you have to be a friend. But not just be any friend, be a godly friend. Well, we need to be that type of friend that lifts other people up when they are down. Now, I know that verse, the second part of it, when we look at it, we say, well, we know that it's talking about Jesus. A friend that sticks close to his brother, because he said what? I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we know that, but in context, Solomon is talking about our earthly friends, not necessarily Jesus, although it can be interpreted to mean him as well. But this is talking about our friendships with one another, that we should be that type of friend. Proverbs 27:26. Listen here. How many of you like your friends to tell you the truth? Anybody, or you want them to tell you a lie all the time? How many of you get mad at your friend when they do tell you the truth? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You see, a friend, a true friend, is a friend who will tell you the truth even if it hurts your feelings. They're not going to hold back. They're going to tell you something that benefits you. And hopefully it's a godly friend who will help you become more like Christ. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You see, I'd rather be hurt by my friend who's telling me the truth than for him to tell me I'm doing everything right. Amen? I would rather that be the case than to be deceived into thinking something that's not true. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his. If you got a friend that agrees with you on everything, you better check to see what they're after. Amen? Because they're going to side with you to get your opinion so you could do something for them. A true friend's going to tell you the truth even if it hurts you. Friendship is declared by God's word. As I said, we all need friends, and especially true friends that will tell us the truth. We need friends who will sharpen us to make us better Christians and to become more like Christ. But here's the thing. Have you ever known somebody who changes their friends like they change their clothes? Maybe they don't know how to be a friend because nobody's ever been a friend to them. They've learned it somehow, because isn't that where we get most of our traits from? We learn them, and sometimes they're good traits and other times they're bad traits. And as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, sometimes the things we've always done, and when we get older, we look back and we read Scripture, and Scripture points out that, man, everything I've been doing all my whole life's been wrong. We got to do a reboot, got to do a reset, and we got to start looking at things differently. We all need the wisdom of God in being a friend. We've all made mistakes as friends. I want to give you a couple things here this morning that going to help us in making godly friends. As I've already said in one verse, to be a friend or have a friend, we got to be a friend. We've got to be that type of friend who said, listen, I'm going to give you freedom within reason. If you see me do something wrong, call me out. Okay? But I want the same freedom as you. If I see you do something that's not right or you're thinking wrong, I'm going to point it out to you, because we're not in this to make one another feel good, right? There's times for that, but in times of need, we need to be truthful with one another. We need to be open and get things out. We must also choose our friends carefully. Amen. What happens when you set a grape, be big, fat, however you big, the little red ones or the orange ones or the cotton candy ones or whichever kind you want to buy, if you set it on the counter for about 2 weeks with air conditioner on, what's going to happen to it? gonna turn into a what? A raisin. Y'all didn't know where raisin came from? It's gonna turn into a raisin. Everything got sucked out of it. Sometimes friendships can be that way, right? We need somebody to put into us as we're putting into us. I've often said this about Sunday school teachers or preachers. If they're not putting anything into their life, you're not going to get anything out of it. But that's true for you sitting in the pool, in the pews as well. Because what you take in, you need friends who will pour into you, but you also need to be pouring into somebody else. Because just like the Dead Sea, when the Dead Sea, all the water runs into it, it doesn't run out anywhere. And so what's being poured into it is stuck there, and it stagnates there, and the saltiness, and there's hardly any life in there. And so that's why I call it the Dead Sea. But the point I'm trying to make is this simple. Yes, we need friends who will help encourage us. But then we also need to be a friend to lift up and encourage somebody else along the way. You have to be a friend. You have to choose friends carefully. But then we definitely need to avoid wicked friends. Now, I'm not saying to leave here and go tell everybody I can't be friends with you because you're lost. Jesus was known to be a friend of the lost because he was a friend to who? To sinners. Aren't you glad because if Jesus wasn't a friend to me and you, we'd be lost and on our way to hell. Thank God that Jesus didn't say, well, you know, you're not in my group, so get out. No, he was a friend to sinners. He's a friend to us, and we must be a friend in order to, or to the lost in order to try to win them for Christ. Think about this. When Jesus first started his ministry, how many disciples did he call to himself? 12. One of them was a devil. Right? Judas. So from 12 he went down to 11, and then from 11 he went down to how many? 3. Peter, James, and John were his closest friends. Now, if that's a model for us as well, that we can be friends with other people, realizing that some people are lost, but we're not trying to leave them lost, we're trying to lend them to Christ. But at the same time, we should have a close group of people with us who we know we can call on anytime, anywhere, day or night, they'll be there. We must be a friend, as the Lord said, we must choose our friends carefully. Proverbs 12:26. Y'all just thought I was making this up. The righteous should choose his friends how? Carefully. For the way of the wicked leads them astray. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts what? How many of you heard the saying growing up, you are who you hang around? If you hang around that kind of person, you're going to become like that person. Right? So we need to choose our friends carefully. James Reagan said it this way. He says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. We all know people over the years who, whether they're kids, youth, young adults, middle-aged adults, older adults, that get caught up hanging around people who are just not, they're not good people to hang around. The danger in that is this. that person will start rubbing off on you. Their meanness, their hatred, their bitterness toward, because if you're ever around a bitter person, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself being what? Bitter. Angry. You got to be careful who you hang around. We know people who have been in that situation. What about a young man or young woman who begins to date somebody who is of questionable character? And I know some parents will say, well, Brother Tim, it's none of your business. I heard Charles Stanley say this one time, that there was a man who came to him about his daughter, and his daughter was having all these issues, and he, Brother Charles Stanley, told him what he needed to do, and the guy told him, I mean, he came to Charles Stanley for advice, and he gave him advice, but a man didn't want the advice, and he left, stormed out of Dr. Stanley's office, and told Charles Stanley to mind his own business. He didn't know what he was talking about. Well, about 6 years later, the man came back crying to Charles Stanley and said, I wish I would have listened to you, because now it's not just these problems, it's so much worse. Here's the thing. You say, well, Brother Tim, it's none of your business. You know, I can't control every friend my kid has. My pastor used to say this. He said, get your head out of the sand. Because one day your child is going to stand before God, but someday you will stand before God too. It is up to us to try to lead our children, to guide our children, to make wise choices and wise decisions, even with their friends, because who they hang around, they will become. Solomon, talking to his own son, Proverbs 1, verse 10 says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If you are in a car that pulls up to a bank and somebody goes in and robs that bank and you had no knowledge of it, at least you say you didn't, and they bring you before the court system, how's the court going to find you? Guilty by what? Association. You see, even in our court systems that happens, and so we realize that, hey, you know, it may not have been intentional, you might not have known everything about it, but who you hang around, you will become like that person. Proverbs 1:15. Solomon says, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. Here again, if your child, if you hang with people who are tearing other people down, you will become like that person. So we must avoid wicked friends. Proverbs 22, verses 24 through 25. And this is for all of us. I don't care how old you are, young, middle-aged, old age, it doesn't matter. Make no friends with an angry man. And with a furious man, do not go. Can I say that we can change an angry man and angry to an angry woman and a furious man to a furious woman? Okay? It's for all of us. Make no friend with an angry man. With a furious man, do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a what? Snare for your soul. Making friends with an angry person is not good, because you will learn that person's ways. They will affect you. They will rub off on you. They will eventually harm you. Right? They will eventually harm you. Girls, free advice. Don't date a jealous guy. Amen? Don't date somebody who gets angry. Now, there's one thing for reasonable anger. But is this flying off the handle, angry all the time? That's a bad sign. That's a sign you need to dump the joke, right? And guys, can I tell you the same truth? If you're dating a girl that's that way, get rid of her. Amen? Lord, wicked friends. Next point is simply avoid friends who gossip. Yeah, I know y'all don't like this. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. What does whisperer mean? If somebody's always telling somebody else's business, Paul would call them busybodies. They're always in somebody else's business but their own. They're always spreading everybody else's business around the church and around the community and around the state and the nation and around the world. They put it on Facebook. They talk about Twitter or whatever it is. Not Twitter, it's X or whatever. They're always talking. Proverbs 17:9. I'm going to look at the second part of this. It says, but he who repeats a matter separates who? What do gossips do? Come on. They tell what they know, whether it's true or untrue, or sometimes it's malicious gossip where it's the intent to harm somebody else. Free advice once again. You have a friend who is always finding faults in other people and talking about them. When they get behind your back, guess who they are going to talk about? I'm just telling you like that. If they'll talk to you about somebody, they'll talk about you to somebody else. Plain and simple. Don't think you're privileged, because you're not. I'm going to give you some more free advice. As a pastor, I've noticed four phrases that I cringe when somebody speaks. Okay? And I'm going to go ahead and tell you what they are. Number one, they'll come to me and say, Brother Tim, let me tell you about what I heard. Man, I just want to crawl in a hole. Because I know what's coming next. Next phrase is, Tim, just want to let you know what's going on with them. With them. I'm just telling you what's going on with them. I understand that to a point. But if you're not praying for them, don't come and ask me to pray for them. Because then it's just gossip. Number three, this is a dead giveaway. I'm not gossiping, but dead giveaway. If I'm not gossiping, but here it comes. You know they got double barrels out ready to shoot you. Fourth one is simply this. And here again, in context, y'all, please understand this. Preacher, I have a prayer request. A lot of times it's good. And they have a legitimate prayer need. But other times it's that next barrel that gets cocked back that I'm cringing at because I don't know what words are coming next. Be careful. Be the top friend you want to have. Another side note here. I've always wanted to say this and never have. If you don't see the Christian you want to follow, you be the Christian you want to follow. Amen? Same way with a friend. If you don't find a friend that you would like to see, you be the friend you want to see in somebody else. Romans 1:28-32. Listen here. Why is it important? There's two aspects of this, because a person who gossips is sinning against God, but the other side of it is that a person who is listening to it is what? Sinning against God. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are what? What's the next word? Backbiters and haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of what? Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. The whisperers and backbiters, it's talking about people who are gossips, who are spreading things that are with the intent of harming others and putting everybody else's business out in the street. And so if you're the person who is speaking all those things, says you're deserving of death. But so too is the one who's approving of them. Who's the one approving of them? The person who's listening to them. Gotta be careful. A true friend will cover an offense. A true friend will cover an offense. Proverbs 17, verse 19, first part of that, I said, well, man, go when you come back up. He who covers a transgression seeks what? In other words, here's the thing. If I go to you and I consider you my friend and I tell you, man, I got this going on in my life, I need you to pray for me. I'm not gossiping. This is real. It's a real issue. I need help. I need you praying for me. And you say, okay, I'll pray for you. And then next thing you know, you go down to the Dollar General and you see sister, brother, so-and-so, and all of a sudden you start spreading Brother Tim's stuff out in the church and in the street and in the Dollar General and everywhere else. He who covers the transgression seeks love. In other words, it may not have been anything to knock me out of the ministry. It may just be cut down. It may just be anything, but it's something I'm struggling with. You know, I need prayer. But when you go spreading it around, you're not helping me. You're not covering me. You're not showing me love. And that type of person is the one who separates friends, close friends, because they'll take what you tell them, and before you can get out the door on Sunday morning, everybody in the church already knows your business. We don't need to be that kind of people. We need to cover a transgression, seek love. Proverbs 25, verse 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble. And sometimes we're gossips plain. You don't have to question. Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a bad tooth. Anybody ever had a bad tooth? Can I get a witness? What about a foot out of joint? Man. But see, that's what happens. That's the kind of pain he caused. People who are going through tough times and we can't bear to hold it in just 1 second longer. We feel like we're Mount Etna fitting to explode everywhere if we don't tell somebody else's business. We're not showing love. We are condemning them and we are bringing condemnation on ourselves. End with this. For us to be a person of wisdom, we need to be a true friend. We do that by being a sure friend. A sure friend. A friend who is rock solid. Proverbs 18, 20, 24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. We got to be friendly. 17:17, Proverbs 17:17. Second part of that says a friend loves, or the first part says a friend loves when? At all times. Remember the Apostle Paul, we've been studying in Sunday school, or starting to. Paul wasn't in trouble, so to speak. He had done nothing wrong. But Paul ended up in prison. Right? Paul ends up in prison, and he has this friend, and if I can say his name right, good. If I don't, y'all forgive me. Onesiphorus. Y'all remember him? He was a huge help to Paul as Paul was in prison. He was a friend of Paul's, but he was one of those friends who sometimes gives more than they take. He was always giving, always doing for Paul, not because Paul was in prison for doing wrong, but because he was in prison for preaching the gospel. We would call Paul a high-maintenance friend to Onesiphorus, because Onesiphorus was always doing for Paul, and Paul was in a position he could do nothing in return. He'd be a sure friend. 2 Timothy 1:16-18. This is what it says. Paul says, and Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. We have 18 up there. If not, it's okay. Anyhow, Paul was a high-maintenance friend. Paul was a high-maintenance friend to Onesiphorus, but Onesiphorus, he was there. He was rock solid for him. He was a sure friend. We must also be a sensitive friend. Proverbs 27:14 says, he who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. Any of y'all that way? Amy says I'm that way. Because I get up early and I make a lot of noise. I'm just kidding. But think about that. Friend of ours should go to beat prison for a weekend. You share a condo. You and your wife in here. They're in that room over there. And you get up early in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. You make your pot of coffee. And you go outside on the front porch and drink coffee. And the door slams. And you sing your heart out there. And your friends wanting to throw a hammer at you. I'm going to write this next verse. Proverbs 25:20. He says, like one who takes away a garment in cold weather, and like vinegar on soda, is one who sings to a heavy heart. We all need friends who come alongside of us and cheer us up. Sometimes when you're sad and lonely, you just need somebody to be there for you. Somebody who will comfort you in those times of need. So we need a sensitive friend, but we also need a friend who will sanctify us. And I'm talking in general here. We need a faithful friend. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. We need people who will help us grow close to the Lord. Proverbs 27:17, we've read this one as well. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 27:5, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. I've often visited folks from church who haven't been in a long time, and hear about them, and I want what's best for them. I want God's best for them. And there's been times when I have said, man, we've been missing you at church, and you know, church is really important. You need to be in church. And they get mad at me. I mean, like throwing knives type mad at you. And it's like, you know, like I'm the worst person on earth. But you know, as I think about that, I think, you know, if I didn't love them, if I didn't care about them, then I wouldn't say anything to them. But I do care about them. I do love them. I do know that God wants what's best for them. And when we're at a communion with God and fellow Christians, well, let me just put it this way. If we're not worshiping God corporately, we're probably not worshiping Him privately. You see what I'm saying? So we need both. We need to worship God in our private times when we're by ourselves or in our prayer closet or wherever we go to pray and read God's word. But then we also need to come together to build one another up so that we can be poured into, so that we can pour into somebody else. We need that. A true friend will tell you the truth even when it hurts. If I didn't care about the person, I would never say anything else to them again. But then if I did that, I wouldn't be the friend, would I? You see, telling the truth when it hurts is a friend who will tell you open rebuke better than love carefully concealed. Sometimes it's best just to say what is on our mind within reason. It is to bring that person closer to the Lord, not push them further away. If you want to know how you're doing as a friend, I challenge you to call your best friend, godly friend, okay? Call your best godly friend you know and say, what are my weaknesses? What are my weaknesses? But be prepared for what they tell you. But be prepared for God to use that to grow you in your faith and in your friendship so that you can be called out, but that you can also have the freedom to speak back in turn. We need to be trustful, loving, loyal friends. But remember, Jesus said, He said to take the plank out of your eye before you start pulling the splinter out of somebody else's. Ask God to examine your heart first. Examine your life. How are you doing? What are you doing? Are you being the friend that God has created you to be? Are you loving them faithfully, surely, as God loves you? Pray and ask God to help you say what is true and what is right, but to do it at the right time. Proverbs 25, verse 11 and 12 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of what? In settings of silver. A word fitly spoken, in other words, the right word at the right time is just as priceless as apples of gold in settings of silver. It is worth everything, but what kind of friend are we? Are we the ones who are just trying to get what we can out of life and don't matter who we get it from, where we get it from, as long as we get it? Are we the type of friend who's pouring our heart and soul and the Word of God into other people's lives? Are we being careful who we allow to enter into our lives? Are they affecting us in a positive way? Are they affecting us in a negative way? Are we growing in our faith? Are we shrinking back from God? You see, your friends can do that to you. They can build you up or they can tear you down. But we have a choice to do things God's way. God gives us His wisdom, because He wants us to make wise choices in who we are around, who we become friends with. Kind of a hard time for invitation. But we all have friends. And we all need to be friends. What kind of friends are we? And what kind of friends do we have? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, as I say, it's kind of a difficult subject, Lord. But the greatest friend, Lord, we know that we need is a relationship. relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to trust you, Lord, into our lives and to ask for forgiveness. And Lord, with a commitment, dedication to serve you, no matter where it may take us or what it may cost us. Lord, you are a friend to each and every one of us who is called by your name. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be faithful friends to others that are in our lives. Lord, that we would, as your word says, that iron sharpens iron. Lord, that we may make one another better. That we may make one another look more like you in our walk, in our faith, in our service to you. Oh, Lord, I pray for the one here today who has never placed their faith in you. Lord, that today would be the day. But also pray, Lord, for those of us who do have a relationship with you. And maybe this morning, Lord, we would need to come to the altar and just, Lord, ask for your forgiveness. That we haven't been the type of friend, Lord, that we should be. Maybe we need to make a decision today, Lord, about friends that we have that are not leading us in the proper way. And Lord, maybe we need to make a decision today, Lord, who we're going to decide to be around. Lord, if that relationship is not honoring to you, then Lord, we need to make a choice of who we're going to follow. Lord, I pray that whatever decisions we need to make today, Lord, that they would honor and please you. But Lord, I pray that we would do it for the right reason, that we would do it for you. Lord, however you want to work in this time, I pray that you just work in our hearts. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.